Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength. Pray for your good hand upon us, Lord, in our private lives, in our, Lord, hospital lives, in our legal lives, in our family lives, Lord. I pray you too for our countries, for Britain, for China, for America, especially, Lord, for that big storm and all those folks that have lost loved ones, Father, and the whole of the government, Lord, and their response to the disaster in North Carolina and Florida, Father. You know, there is a lot going on in the world, especially with Russia and Ukraine and all the other countries involved in that, and of course in Israel, Lord, and Gaza and the West Bank and Lebanon and Iran and all of those places, Lord. Pray above them all, and in spite of whatever odds might come their way, that you would bless and keep and preserve us, Lord. Please bless and keep and preserve us as well. Please be with Stan as he travels over to Dundee. And Lord, the meeting over there, please work in the hearts and minds of ministers and preachers and their wives and families. And most of all, Lord, we pray for your work to be done. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Right, I'll get my my in detail glasses. At 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I have an appointment with, I think it's medical imaging. Let me see the prayers for that. Let's take a turn to number 66 in the big book. Number 66 in the big book. It is at Calvary. And we'll just remain seated as we
knowing God it was for me.
start. We're swapping books. We're turning to number 11 in the wee black book. Number 11 in the wee black book is immortal, invisible, God, only wise. And if you're a fellow, just want to stand, just want to sit. Just thank the Lord for saving our souls. Just be in there. Amen.
Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them, and fear him, and delivereth them. With taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Thy is the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trusteth in him shall be desolate. Amen.
Good verses.
Even one there about the Lord on the cross, verse number 20, he keepeth all his bones, no, not one of them is broken. And if you recall to mind that the Lord was dead, normally they had to break the bones of the men that were on the cross so that they would suffocate. But whenever they went to do that to the Lord, he was already dead, and they could thrust the spear up into his side. Verse number 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Number 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them for him and delivereth them. Good verses. Thank you. Do we have any additions to the prayer list? Is there anything that needs to be added to our orange prayer list? Anybody got anything? London travel. Please remember that. I also have down for Will, for his new boss and work, for Christine and Mary Ann for her eye treatment, for William that visits with us on some Sunday evenings, please do pray for his extended family, and the Christian mission that was going on at Miss McGelvin there. Everything okay with Edith for the time being?
Yep, still no results from, got result, but
nothing.
Can't find anything wrong, so she'll see her own doctor today, but I haven't heard yet.
I know how she feels. They tested for 11 things on the blood tests. And said, well, Mr. Bradfield, your blood tests are all clear. I said, why do I feel so awful? So I know where you're coming from. So I would appreciate your prayers for this consultation, this scan, or whatever it is that I have ahead of me tomorrow morning. That whatever it is can be found and sorted out, and life resume sooner rather than later. There's things to be done before the bad weather comes in. I'd like to get them done, although to take a knife to me, that might change my winter arrangements. But anyway, just pray about that. Private prayer requests. How are you guys fixed? Huh? Lord knows what they are. Amen. Anything else? Any prayers answered?
Yes.
Just got Norman. Norman Edith plus plus. Not the LGBTQ plus plus, but just the Norman, Edith, all care, MRI plus plus. I'm glad of that. And thanks to him, right? That's good. That's right. I sent him birthday greetings on Facebook. That's right. That's right. What age now? I remember when you couldn't see over the top of the computer. Frank, all grouped up, my goodness.
I have a blessing.
Yes.
I think it's for our doctor's surgery because they got marking very quickly for all of this, and I'm very thankful for that.
Okay. Right. That's how we word a prayer, folks, and then we'll sing another song. Let's close our eyes and God. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. And thank you, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, too, for your word, for Bethel, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, Lord, as well for having a listening ear always to your children. And Lord, for our big brother, Jesus Christ, always interceding on our behalf in the face of the accuser of the brethren. And I thank you, Lord, for our answered prayers, for quick resolution, for things being resolved for Norman. I pray too, Lord, and thank you for all the things that you've done for Lynn of late, and pray that you would look after her and Dr. Shang as they travel over to London, back and forth these next couple of weeks. We pray as well for Will and his new boss, kicking off for his granny and her eyesight difficulties. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would help her there and help her to get the use out of the hearing aids, Lord, and just bless her. And help her in her duties, Father. For Norman's sister, for Edith, and for Carolyn Francis too, Lord. We pray for saving of souls, and most importantly, for your will to be done. For Frank on his 24th birthday. For Colin, for Will, for Christine and Marianne, for John and Carolyn and Stephen, for Stephen Pat, for Stephen McGowan and his family too. And for us too, Father, I pray your good hand upon us, that you would watch over us and keep us. Very especially, Lord, for the folks in America that are suffering in those flood zones, in those storm zones. You know, Lord, we know too also, Lord, that you are the master of the winds and the waves, no matter what man or devil will put their hand to them and make them do. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would calm them all down and restore what you can, Lord. Pray as well for governments across the world. I pray, Lord, please, that the men and women that walk the corridors of power would be greatly, Lord, have their consciences pricked by you when it comes to doing the right thing and not just feathering their own nests, Lord. For our own government, for Ukraine and Russia, for China, Lord, for Australia, I think they're going through some sort of election, or is that New Zealand right now, for Canada, for South America, Lord, for Europe and the Africans and all of those places, Lord, and most especially for your people in Israel, Lord. No matter the numbers of people around, Lord, we know that you don't see it by many or few, but by according to your right hand. Please, Lord, I pray, bless and keep. Bless our time in your presence too, Father, and look after our loved ones, those that's not saved, I pray that you would save them, and Lord, most importantly, we pray for your will to be done. Please bless every outreach, Lord, that has been attempted, not just by ourselves, but by, Lord, Christians across the world, across time, across the world. Please pray for Michelle and Keith, and that young fellow just especially from the present. We leave these things at your feet along with our private prayer requests, Lord, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Please cleanse us and refresh us and help us this day. Amen. 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 Right, we're going to sing another song. We're back in the big book. If you would like to take and turn there, and I'm just going to sing that one, but maybe I won't sing that one. We'll do number 65. Number 65 is Just Over in Glory Land. That's an old favourite. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. And number 65, Just Over in Glory Land.
Just over in the glory land, and along.
if you'd like to take a turn there, we were reading there over the last week or so, excuse me, about the life of Christ and one thing and another, and his ministry. We're going to continue on there, and we're going to be looking at the maniac of Gadara. Matthew chapter 8. I've called it consequences. If you need a, if you're writing down your notes and you want a title for it, I've called it consequences this particular evening. We're going to begin reading at verse 23, and we're going to read 11 or 12 verses, excuse me, until verse number 34. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Many as a place could be. There's really only whenever you're charged by the Lord and you have the ability, there's only one place you should be. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse number 23, we're speaking on the consequences. And when he was entered into his ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, that he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Amen. That is our Bible reading, and we're taking the account of the maniacs of Gadara, but also the maniac of Gadara in Luke chapter 8, and we're thinking on the subject of consequences for a little bit. Let's have a quick prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, please help us as we take this time in your word. Please open our understanding and help us to draw the parallels to our own lives and the lives of those around and about us. And Lord, help us to do our best, pointing folks to the foot of Christ. Please be with, Lord, the teachers and preachers of your word across the world, those that's only maybe starting or thinking about it, Lord, and those that's finishing off. Please bless the teaching and the preaching and the reading of the full counsel of your word. Thank you for your many precious helps and promises. Bless us and watch over us. And Lord, we love you and praise you. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is not an unfamiliar portion of God's word. It is an excellent example of so many things in our lives, even our own lives, not necessarily superhuman strength, but certainly a lot of bother with devils as we go from one end of our lives to the other. As we begin our reading this evening, the Lord has just stepped into a ship, and he's heading over to the country of the Gergesenes after ministering to a great many people, casting out demons, healing the sick, all that stuff. We're not just talking about, as I've read a few commentaries, about how the Lord helped a man with a great many voices in his head. He didn't help a man with a great many voices in his head. He delivered a man from a legion of devils that were tormenting the life out of him. So he wasn't just slapping people on the back and giving them a wee word to cheer them along and a wee bit of sage advice. He was literally changing their lives physically and, of course, spiritually as well. And then we have the instance of the Lord falling asleep in the boat and the winds and the waves threatening to swamp the boat. And, of course, the Lord says, why are you fearful? I know that with all that goes on in this world, sometimes it's very hard to stop just for a moment and to take our eyes off of what's going on in the world, especially when so much of what's going on in this world has actually happened first in the Bible and was secured there over 2,000 years ago. But we need to keep our eyes in the Lord in the middle of all of our storms and never forget who it is that saved us and who it is that gives us a wee gee up and sometimes even just has us look to the left or the right. And that can make all the difference in the world. So, everyone is astonished whenever the Lord can do these things, and we should be. But we need to remember just who it is that we're dealing with. It's not a bloke. It's not our mate. It's not our bud. It's the Lord God Almighty that went to the cross for the saving of our souls. And he loves us sometimes even in spite of ourselves. But this is a well-known portion of God's word, more so the other version in Luke chapter 8. But as the Lord steps out of the boat here, this portion of God's word records that there are two men in the Gergesenes that meet him, possessed with devils, and they come out of the tombs. They are fierce, they're inhumanly strong, they spend a lot of time crying and cutting themselves. Maybe it's just to sort of feel a bit of real, not knowing what's real and what's not. And you know what else? Not one person in the face of the earth could stop them except Jesus Christ. But even in the dire straits that these men were in, the Bible records that one of them came to Jesus and got saved. In the other chapter, it records that a man came running down, he was possessed with devils, and the Lord said, come out of him, who are you? And the devils obviously said, we are legion. There is a bunch of us in here. Even with all of that nonsense going on in his life, and it was a lot of nonsense, there was so much nonsense that he was cutting himself, that he had separated himself from anybody, that he was angry with the world for no reason. The Bible says he was exceedingly fierce. That the Lord was the only one to deal with him. And the Lord cast the devils out. And upon being dispossessed, those spirits inhabited at least a few of the swine that were being herded nearby. And the Bible records how this herd of swine ran violently down into the sea. If I got to thinking about that even, and I got to thinking that that's what was going on in his mind all the time, those devils were trying to get him to kill himself, and maybe even hurt others. But whenever that happens, as is always the case with the Lord Jesus Christ, the man got a coat on him, or a jacket on him, or whatever passed for a jeans and t-shirt, a pair of boots on him. And when all the people whose sheep ran down into the water came from the town, instead, this always puzzles me, they didn't say to Jesus, hold on a wee second, This man was exceeding fierce. We couldn't tie him down with chains. We couldn't tie him down with ropes. We couldn't lock him up because he would break them all and he would attack anybody who was exceeding fierce. Let's get him out of here. He was that bad. If this guy's been able to beat him, surely he's even worse. But they never stopped to think that the God, the same God that freed this man from this awful demon possession, well, if he did it for him, surely he would do something for all the rest of them. But they just wanted him gone. They didn't want the man that could conquer the demoniac. One of the very few situations the Lord actually refused someone from following him. The Lord was always happy to have people following and listening and learning. This time, and this is like the blind man in John chapter 9. Remember the blind man who was blind from his birth, and the Lord healed him, and he went to the people in the church and said, "I was blind, but now I see." He said, "Who healed you? Are you sure you're him? Are you the guy that was blind?" His parents knew he was blind. Some of his friends knew that he was blind. He knew that he was blind. And a lot of people found it very difficult to believe that it was blind. But God said to the man that had this legion of devils in him, he said, "Go back to your people and show them, tell them about the great things that God has done for you. It'll be maybe the only opportunity they get to see." But what an opportunity. This notable person who was literally feared and shunned by everybody turned to God and was found at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. A great opportunity to direct people, to direct traffic off the broad road that leads to destruction onto the straight and narrow road that leads to life. And I got to thinking a few things about that. First of all, and we'll come to the consequences in a little bit, there'll always be someone that needs to hear the gospel. There's always someone that needs to hear the gospel. It doesn't matter where you are. That doesn't mean you get out to take your shirt off and put it on back to front and button it up and have a Bible the size of a breeze block in your arm and be standing at a pulpit pointing. Sometimes it might be over a cup of tea. Might be in a shop queue. You just never know. But there'll always be someone that needs to hear the gospel. Christians will love to hear it, especially if you're in Christian company. It's good to hear about the things that God does. I like to, whenever Norman's reading, I like it whenever the wee verses jump out. Taste and see that the Lord is good, or the angel of the Lord is encamped around about those that trust him. Those are precious promises. I love to hear about it. But lost souls need to hear it. In the same way as a little child needs to eat their broccoli and their carrots and not just their sweets and their chocolate and their applesauce, lost souls need to hear the gospel. Not everyone is going to be glad when they hear the gospel. There's going to be a bit of kickback. It does talk about two men being possessed of devils, but Luke only details one of them being saved. Not everybody is going to accept Christ as their Savior. Even though they need it. And even though there will be a huge change for the better in those that do accept Him, not everybody is going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that no matter the sin that people are involved in, if someone is genuinely asking questions deep down in their heart, like this man, buried under a legion of devils, God can save him. All that it takes is for someone to ask, "Lord, would you please save me?" That's literally all that it says. That the man placed himself at the feet of Christ and asked for help, and the Lord said, "All that come to me, or him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." No matter what the sin is, no matter the devil that has possessed a person, all that it takes is a word from the Lord God Almighty to send that thing packing, to knock that thing in the head, if the person is ready and will. I have heard of people saved from drugs, from lives of violence, from lives of immorality. Mary Magdalene, they reckon, was an adulteress. She had seven devils cast out of her. It can take a man running half-dressed around the country, out of his mind, squealing and shouting and fighting and growling, and put him at the Saviour's feet. He's been doing it ever since. He's still good for it. See, the devil, he's a tricky devil. He's a liar. He's the father of it. He walks about right like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He never comes straight out and says, right, I have a vacancy for a man to run through the tombs, crying and screaming and wailing, cutting himself with stones, and not wearing any clothes. Does anybody want to do that? Being completely ostracized from everybody round about. If you put that down as a job vacancy, you might get a sick individual or two that would say, oh, I'll do that. It's better than where I am right now. But most people in their right mind will not have anything to do with that. But maybe it didn't start like that. He didn't think he would end up living in a graveyard full of dead things. Maybe he thought, you know, he was a wee man. And he was always being pushed around or bullied, and he was, I don't know, kicking a can down the road one day, and he was saying, oh, if I was a bit stronger, I would show those guys what for. If I was a bit faster, if I was a bit fiercer, if I had the killer instinct, I'd soon teach those guys a lesson. And he just opened his heart up to devils. And they gave him his strength. And they gave him his fierceness. And he was so strong and so fierce that not one person could lay a hand on him. And it's interesting to note that in the Bible, yes, there was a man who was very fast and was very strong. Of course, we're talking about Samson. But at least he was biblical. God was able to use him to carry out his will. This man was completely off his rocker. And he was certainly able to beat up those guys who bullied him or pushed him around or whatever it was that caused him to open that up and gain the respect and fear of people. But sure, he lived in a graveyard. And no matter what the original reason is, and I'm sure the people have a thousand reasons for turning away from God and for doing things the wrong way, there's always consequences for doing things the wrong way. I got no respect. Nobody's there to come near me or bother me. I'm super strong and I'm super fierce. I don't know if you remember Acts chapter 19. There was one demon-possessed man who was able to send seven sons of Sceva, exorcists, packing, injured. One. This man had a legion of devils in him. But such was the turmoil in his mind. And such were the voices of the devils pulling him one way and then pulling him another way, and he didn't know which way was up or when it was night or when it was day. I don't know why people cut themselves, but he ended up cutting themselves. It's not a good place to be in. I am sure after a wee taste of this, he would have given his right arm to be back with his family and friends without the fuss, walking down the street, buying a paper, pint of milk, loaf of bread, just living ordinary life. I'm sure he would have given his right arm. But the world, the flesh, and the devil doesn't work like that. Those are not the results of giving unto the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil leaves marks and scars on our body. It hurts us. Sometimes not with wounds that we can see, but wounds that are deep inside. And it loves to leave them there. And it loves to It loves to leave us in such a situation that we think that we're useless. That why would God want anything to do with us? That's the way I thought of myself before I got saved. And I'm thankful that the Lord really did show me that he did love me. I was reminded of the account of a man pulled a dusty old violin out at an estate auction, and he pulled it out and he put the bow across it to give it a few strokes, and of course it sounded like a cat being strangled, and he asked for any bids. There weren't very many bids. I think it was only a few dollars, until a man stood up and said, "Just give me a moment." And he took the violin and he tightened the strings and he put them all in the tune. I think they're in a chord or something like over the bridge. And he got up and he drew the bow across, and it was a beautiful sound. And he played one of the old classic pieces on it. I don't know, Beethoven, Bach, whatever it would have been. And all of a sudden, the bidding started to go up and up and up and up on it, because people understood at last that in the hands of the master, even this dusty old violin could produce beautiful music, and that's us. It doesn't matter what the world does to us, and it doesn't matter what price the world has exacted of us, but if we step into the Savior's hands, he can produce something beautiful there. You see, with all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, a lot of our institutions and organizations, they don't produce that change in people. And by the time a lot of people are caught up in these institutions, they get caught in the gears of the machines and dragged in. You need an illustration of that. Years ago down in, I think it was the Irvingstown factory, they used to roll the big 500 meter lengths and measure them. They would roll them off the roller they come in from the Far East on, onto a machine roller, and that would count the width, the length of the material. And there were all these warnings around it. And one wee girl with lovely long hair got caught in it, and it pulled her scalp off. The reason you don't let yourself be drugged into machines, because once they get a hold of you, they're very, very hard to get away from. It is only the Lord that once again provides what a man really needs, and that's peace with God. Delivered by the one man that can, the Lord Jesus Christ. World, the flesh, and the devil will promise you the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the rest of space as well, and they'll make it sound great. And they'll make you think on the moment and forget about the long-term effects of the way you live your life. And they'll keep you occupied like a little hamster on a wheel on something that's maybe not even immediately harmful, but it eventually will be. And you know what, friends? There's enough out there in the world and in the church to keep you busy for years. So if one day when you just take a time out and you look up and you think, you're looking out the window and there's an old fellow looking back at you, and you realise you're in the bathroom having a shave or washing your face, and there's that face has got grey hairs and wrinkles. And you're thinking, who's that old fella? And then you go like that there and you think, maybe he's not looking that old. Maybe a wee shave will shave off a few years. When the white hairs disappear off the face, he looks much more dapper. And you know what? Maybe a number five on the side will take a few more of those white hairs away. You know what, friends? I have thought of it from time to time. I quit Desmond's 25 years ago. 24 years ago, was it, Chris? 21 or 22 years ago. I quit Desmond's about 2 years after I started running the church. So it was maybe 23 years ago. I remember Whenever Norman and me were working in the church and it was all done up, and I just stopped and looked for a moment and thought, where did the last 20 years go? Where did the last... I was a fresh-faced 40-year-old whenever I thought about that. And the Lord said to me, you've preached hundreds of sermons, you've handed out thousands of tracts, you've spoken to thousands of people about the most important decision they'll ever make in their lives, your time is well spent. You think about someone that surfaces after, on a Sunday afternoon, after a Friday and a Saturday night's drinking, and they do exactly the same thing, and there's a grizzled grey face looking in the mirrors of some 50-year-old trying to be a 25-year-old, and they think, where did those years go? And it is then that people realize that the world, the flesh, and the devil does not deliver on its promises. Drinking, partying, carrying on. I wish I had the PR people that work for the devil working for me, because they can make the worst thing in the world look great. I have it so well, finally home. They can convince people to do the thing, hugely damaging things to their minds and bodies and finances and families and friends. And people will think they've been having a good time. They are that good. They'll fill your mind with stories. They'll promise you power, thrills, just the same way the devil did to the Lord in the wilderness. And it never ends well. No matter how folks seem to progress, never ends well. So if you're with the stuff, if you're a saved soul, you stay with the Lord. Maybe you're a soul that has wandered off a wee bit. Maybe you've left your first love. Revelation chapter 2, read the book about the book of Ephesus. The Lord said, I have something with you. Yes, you're with me, but you've left your first love. Get back to it again. Get back to the Lord. Stay with the stuff, the gospel stuff. It's been saving souls since man was called out of the dust. If we were to look at the demoniac of Gadara, it's actually a picture of each one of us. We have our minds filled with all sorts of things pulling us this direction, that direction, and the other direction. And most of them, all they're doing is wasting their time and their life and their vitality. But if we run to God, God will. He'll show us what's for real. We can be the demoniac of Gadara, seated and clothed, and in our right minds, listening to what God says, and then going back to tell everybody else of what we've done. There are consequences for not listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your soul will not be saved. Do you know what it's like to go through this world completely on your own? You have to look after yourself. You put your head down in your pillow. Am I going to wake up in the morning? If I don't, where am I going to be? Whenever you open your eyes at night and the night terrors are upon you, or there's somebody waiting round the corner from you, do you know the number of people that have been delivered by angels? I remember reading about a wee girl that was walking home one night, and she walked through a park, as most bad stories start with a wee girl walking through a park. And she made it through safe and sound. But there were two young fellows that were picked up. They were picked up for, and I think they were carrying weapons, or they were there to mug people or rob people or beat them up. And they said, aye, we saw that wee girl there, but she had two big fellows standing behind her, walking just right behind her. So we left her alone. You have that as a Christian. You have the ministrations of angels as a Christian, but you don't have any of that. You don't have the promise that everything will work out for the best for a loss if you're a lost soul, because it won't. It is not going to be the best for you to end up in hell and then the lake of fire. That is not the best for you. Those are the consequences for those that spit in the face of God. but laugh at all that Christ has done, and think that putting a few quid in a plate and putting a few leaflets in the door, or helping a few ladies across, wee old ladies across the road, is going to pay the rent to heaven. Consequences for saying no to Jesus are horrific. And the Lord showed us them so that we would be aware and not make those stupid decisions. The Lord doesn't want that for us, so he warns us about it. The only consequences you and I, we want them to have is the consequences of getting saved. And once you're saved, even if you sat in one of the worst churches that never preached the gospel, that never encouraged you to read and to study and to pray and to listen for God in your own life and do what God's saying, even if you never do any of that, the Bible says you're still going to heaven because you overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil to trust in Christ as your Savior. But the Lord wants more than that for us. He doesn't want his children running through the world on their own. He wants to be there for them. He wants to speak to them. He wants to send angels for those little coincidences that so many Christians talk about, coincidences being in quotes. His son literally wants to have your name on his lips when the accuser of the brethren comes pointing the finger. Mark said that. Mark thought that. Mark didn't do that. I want to tell you that the liar and the father of lies, whenever he points the finger at you and accuses you and brethren, he tells the truth. The only consequences God wants for us is his company and his service for us in this world. And a new and a glorified body with no more sin nature, robes of righteousness, and a home in heaven for us whenever this life is over. Those are the consequences that God wants for us. Those are the ones that we should be looking to make sure we have. I remember being a lost man in the rat race. I remember the heartache, and I remember the backstabbing, and I remember the victory dances. I remember all of that. And you know what? I was happy to give it up to walk and talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to keep your eyes on him whenever you're walking in this world, because that old minefield, they're everywhere. And it is only whenever you're listening to what the Lord says that you put your feet in the right place. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Pray that was a help to you. And we're going to finish off this evening with hymn number 19. One of my favourite finishing off hymns. Hymn number 19 in the wee black book. And that is, God be with you till we meet again. I know I haven't said for a while, but if anybody ever has any questions or any thoughts about the sermon, all they've got to do is ask me. You all know me well enough by now. God be with you till we meet again. Let's sing.
God be with you till we meet again. Bye.
and prayer will be dismissed. Lord, thank you for this little bit of time. I pray that you would bless and honour it as we have honoured you and coming out and visiting and fellowshipping and lifting up your praises and prayers, Lord, and reading and studying your book. Please bless all of these things to us this evening. And I pray, Lord, that about service you would have been happy with too. Please look out for our absent brethren, wherever they may be. Please convict the lost of sin and judgment to come. And Lord, please, Lord, I pray you come quickly. Love you and thank you. And we leave these things to your feet, Lord. Please grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We're dismissed.